Like I say, we appreciate the privilege again to be here tonight. Appreciate that our heart's been made to feel, that of the songs that's been sung in this place. If you want to read with us tonight, we're going to read some out of the book of Ruth. Very familiar scripture. First chapter, book of Ruth. We say this is a very familiar scripture, and it is. What we feel like reading, so you just bear with us. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn into the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. She was left and her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her. They went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely, we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" And she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, this is a very familiar scripture, I know, and it's a one that's probably been preached on many, many be the time. And there's a lot in it, a lot in this story about Naomi and that of Ruth. The scripture, as it makes mention here, they was in that of Bethlehem, Judah, and there was a famine in the land, and they left the land, just as it says. They went down into Moab, and in Moab, the husband died, and also her two sons had died also. And her two daughter-in-laws, as I read here unto you about wanting to go with her, said, "We'll go with you." And then she rehearsed the reasons that it'd be no benefit for them to go with her. And the Bible says here that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and then she returned back to her mother. But Ruth clave unto Naomi. Ruth clave unto Naomi. I want to talk just a little bit tonight, the Lord being my helper, about people that God puts in your life. People that God puts in your life. You might think sometimes that everything is going wrong. And in this case, in Naomi's case, brethren, it did go wrong. She lost her husband, she lost her sons. And brethren, but she come home, and the scripture says here in another place, it made mention that how the Lord had dealt with her and said, "Call me not Naomi, but which is pleasant, but call me Mara, which is bitter." And brethren, because the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. She said that I went out full, but the Lord hath brought me home again empty. She had nothing, brethren, but she had a little daughter-in-law, brethren, that she could not get rid of. She had somebody, brethren, that was not going to leave her. She said, "I'll be with you." She said, "Nothing shall separate us except death." That's the only thing that would separate us. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Brethren, I believe with all my heart that Ruth saw something in Naomi. She saw something, thank God, she didn't have. And brethren, she wasn't going to lose it. Think about it. Think about it. You might think, my friend, that we just haphazardly sometimes fall in the wrong place. It don't happen. No, sir, it don't happen. I just be honest with you. I don't believe things happen by chance. Now, it's by chance, it says, sometimes that this happens and that happens. But the fact of it is, you study that word out, my friend, it was meant to be. It was meant to be. There's things, brethren, that they didn't see when they went down in Moab. But, brethren, God had a plan for Ruth and Naomi, too. She might have come home empty, but she didn't stay empty. No, sirree, she didn't stay empty. Then when they got home, my friend, it was a time of barley harvest. Them things just don't happen to happen. Think about it. Brethren, she heard that they'd had bread back at home. She went home. Brethren, and Ruth went with her, not knowing what was going to happen. Brethren, God puts people in our lives sometime, doesn't He? Yes, sir. And we better take care of them that He passes our journey with, crosses our paths. Yes, sir. We better take much cherishment. Yes, sir. We better take much time as we can with them that God give us today. You say, preacher, I don't know about all that. I got news for you. And I do. I'm one of the world's worst sometimes, brethren, to complain when a few things come my way. But I'll be quite frank with you. I learned a good while back just to quit complaining. Thank God, just take it, because it'll be for my benefit when it's all said and done. Yes, sir, it caused me a lot of pain, caused me a lot of different things, but I'll be honest with you, just as honest as I know how to be. Brethren, there's some things that's come my way. I'm talking as an individual that, brethren, I didn't want to face. Thank God, but it's made me love the Lord that much more. Naomi come home humble. Do you know that? She come home empty, thank God. You can't fill a full vessel. Do you know that? You can't fill a full vessel. You can't put nothing in it. Brethren, it'll overrun. A lot of folks, my friend, don't get filled because they haven't been empty. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The truth of it is, there's times, I've thought a lot of times about Elijah. Brethren, not just Elijah, I thought about Abraham as well. Brethren, God had showed Abraham what was coming to pass. He most certainly did. And He told him, He said, they'll be in the captivity 400 years. Yes, sir, God showed him that vision. Told him about it. Brethren, the next thing you find, Abraham was doubting God. Yes, sir. Why, preacher, he didn't do it. He did. Go and read it. It's over there in the book of Genesis. Was not Elijah, my friend, got on the mountain, called fire right down out of heaven? Thank God. God answered his prayer. God was with him. Brother, the next place you find him, he's under a tree moping, my friend. Yes, sir. moping. Yeah. Yeah. Thank God didn't know what he was going to do. Only one left. Is that not right? Have you ever felt like you was the only one left? Huh, Brad? You don't live by yourself. By God, cherish them that God's give you. Think about it. Brethren, they think, I don't know. I don't know how the outcome would have been any other way. This little book of Ruth, my friend, is full of gold. You know that? It is, brethren, it's rich. Thank God. You won't find a better love than that Ruth had for Naomi. No, sir. No, sir. God puts people in our lives sometime, brethren, in strange ways. I've never been one that liked a whole lot of change. I'll just be honest with you. I never have been. It's hard for people to adjust to change. It really is. But the truth of it is, there's been times that things have changed on me, my friend, and I found out that it changed for a reason. It did. I found it a hardship to begin with, but I'll promise you, when I settled old Randy down, and figured out that the Lord was trying to work with me, thank God to work with them, my friend. I thought a lot of times, my friend, people, they had prayed, said, I prayed you that the Lord put me in a good Christian job. And I'll tell you something, my friend. Where do you think you'd be better help at? We all feel that way. Well, I like to work around a bunch of Christians. I've not worked around too many. Just to be honest with you. Thank God. My friend, but I'll guarantee you, my friend, God put me there for a reason. He done it. Yes, sir. And I can't tell you, my friend, the times that people has come to me, my friend, because that he put me where I was at. Yes, sir. I'm not saying I was anything. No, sir, I didn't. Well, I'd love to sit down and talk the Word with them. Brethren, they had no knowledge of the Word. They didn't know what the Word was. Glory to God. Ruth didn't know everything about Naomi. Brethren, but she knows she had something. Yes, sir. She knowed she had something. Brethren, she had something that was surreal. Thank God Ruth wasn't going to let her go. Can you clave? It said Ruth claved unto Naomi. Clave. That word ain't used too many times. Brethren, it says Adam cleaved unto his wife Eve. Yes, sir. Brethren, you get marriages where they'll clave together and cleave together. Brethren, they won't be no man again. Glory to God! Like it or not, that's just the way it is. It takes two. I ain't gonna say what I would do. Let me just tell you. Let me just tell you, the Lord can fix things. Do you know that? Lord can fix things. Yes, sir. Brethren, I believe Naomi was better to Ruth than 10 husbands could have been. She knowed it too. But did you know that God didn't forget Ruth? He didn't forget Naomi. Brethren, everything that Ruth done affected Naomi. And it was for Naomi's benefit. Yes, sir.
Thank God! Glory! Glory to God! What He does for you is for your benefit! Ain't it? Think about it. Think about people that God's put in your life. Think about it. I'm going to tell you something. There's some folks going to wake up one of these days. I don't know exactly when, but they're going to wake up one of these days. Brethren, I would to God. I'll tell you something. I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing, but I'm just going to tell you something. My friend, when Adam and Eve, my friend, they became husband and wife, they became as one. Do you know that? Brethren, there's a lot of people thinks that of the man lords over his mate. That ain't what it is. Brethren, I'll tell you one thing. You do that and I'll guarantee you, you gonna have one miserable household. Yes, sir. There's something about a helpmate. Do you know that? There is, thank God. It takes two. Yes, sir, to become that one. Yes, it does. And I'm not speaking, my friend, out of turn. I can tell you something. Brother, me and my wife ain't agreed on everything. No, sirree. That agreement, I appreciate what the preacher said, old Leon Tao. I appreciate what he said. Somebody asked him one night. My friend said that some of his neighbors, my friend, said he might have been arguing, him and his wife. And my friend, he said, I'll tell you one thing. And my friend, he said, we don't argue in my house. He said, but we sure do some reasoning. Yeah! Glory to God! And my friend, you say, preacher, they ain't no different. Yes, they are. And my friend, brother, let's get together. Let's just reason together. You see if it won't work. Yes, sir. People that the Lord has put in your life, not just counting your companion, not just counting your children, and as you get a little older, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, it just goes on and on. It does, but that ain't just the people that God's put in your life. You know that? These people don't come visit me too much, but you know what? When they have a need, they'll come. They'll do it. It's been proven. They'll get to knocking on the door. Yes, sir. They'll get on the phone. Is it all right I come talk to you? You just come right ahead. And my friend, I don't mind talking to you. And my friend, I don't mind preaching to you. And my friend, but you don't get the same answer every time. Yes, you are. I believe there's one thing about Naomi that Ruth noticed. She is Naomi. Yes, sir, she is Naomi. She got down Moab. She is Naomi. You know what I mean? Yes, sir. She come back home. Thank God, said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Brethren, I'll tell you, you let the Lord get a hold of you. You let the Lord get to showing you your shortcomings. Now, friend, you'll get humble too. Do you know that? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. You say, preacher, he won't do that. Well, my friend, I believe he will. And my friend, why did Naomi say she'd come home empty? And my friend lost everything she had. And my friend, yes, sir. Yes, sir. But brethren, God had a plan, and it was all restored to her. Job, huh? He had three miserable friends. Do you know that? They're miserable comforters. That's what he called them. But he had three. I don't know how many more he had, but he had three. He had three, thank God, that's real close to him. Just come sit down with him. They sat down for 7 days and didn't open their mouth. Nobody said anything. Brother, they couldn't believe the sight they had saw. Boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. Everything gone that he had. Listen, thank God, after the end of 7 days, they begin to tell Job how he had sinned. What sin have you done? What's going on? And now, friend, ain't that what we figure sometimes? Ain't that what we figure? Well, they've done something. Ain't that what we think? Yeah, that's the first thing we think. First thing we think. The truth of the matter of it is, just like Job, my friend, they might not have done nothing. Huh? It doesn't mean that they've sinned. No, sirree. I believe Brother Griffin Cumley had said one time, he had had cancer, I know twice, maybe three times, but I know he had it twice. My friend, and he said somebody asked him and talked about the sin. What sins you do to get that cancer? These people just believe that. Yes, sir. There's a lady. I read her obituary just this week. This was 20, 30, 40, 35 year ago, I know. And my friend, 40 year ago, as far as that goes, she had come down with cancer. And my friend, I don't know what I preached that day at her, where she belonged, but I preached something that got a hold of her. And she come out and she said, Randy, he said, I can't tell you the people that's told me, my friend, and questioned me of what sin have I done to receive this cancer. I said, and in your message said, God, give me the answer. And my friend, I said, well, I thank you. I said, I'm going to tell you one thing. I said, it ain't because of your sin. My friend, hell, preacher, you couldn't tell her that. Not without the Lord showing me. She died the other day. Had cancer. Cancer 40 years ago. Huh? Yes, sir. She died the other day. Oh, preacher, she died. Yes, she did. She sure did. Brethren, you don't know what the Lord's got in store for you. You don't know the people, my friend, that God wants you to touch as you go down this journey. You don't know. No, you don't. There's been men and women alike. Brethren, that's been such a blessing in my life. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's a lot of them right here. We buried a lot of them. You know that? We buried a lot of them. We come back, somebody asked me, I'll tell you later who it was, but somebody asked me, Randy said, well, how about this third time? Said, how is it? I said, let's go a few months and then you ask me. There's some of you, my friend, that never wouldn't hear and I was here the other two times. Friend, brethren, and I count it joy, and I count it, my friend, an opportunity. Thank God to get acquainted with you. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. There's not any. I was told when I early started out not to get too close to the people. Don't get too close to people. One day you're going to have to leave them. Thank God I ain't pastored one yet and I hadn't got close to. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My friend, yeah. Thank God I can't help it. Brethren, if I'm going to be anything to you, I'm going to have to get close to you. Yes, sir. You may not think so, but I lean on you. Yeah, I lean on you. I probably expect too much out of some of you. Thank God. I was sitting there thinking, you know, this sickness, this Delta variant, whatever, COVID kicking back up, my friend, and I'm just sitting here thinking tonight. I said, well, I sure am glad we was able to meet. Did you know that? I sure am glad. I tell you, I wouldn't want if I had COVID or thought I had it. I normally stay home. Yeah? I normally stay home. I don't even like that. I don't even like that. But I tell you, I'm glad we can come together. I really am. I know there's some looking on. Pray the Lord, there is. Anyway, and I hope and pray God blesses them. 100%. I do. If they're in meeting with us, thank God, I hope God blesses them tonight. But I'm glad to be here. Yes, sir, I'm glad to be here, ain't you? Elisha. You know what Elisha done? Elisha took Elijah's place. Did he not? Now, it don't get into no big detail, brethren, of how much Elisha had been around Elijah. It don't get in no great big detail. It don't tell you, my friend, how many times their path had crossed. But I'll tell you one thing. Elisha had saw enough in Elijah that, brethren, he wanted twice as much. Glory to God! Had they never crossed, thank God Elisha would have never got it. You know that? You say, preacher, they took Elijah. Yeah. But thank God he gave to Elisha twice as much. That's what he asked for. Yes, sir. He said, you've asked a hard thing. He said, you see me. Thank God when I leave. Brother, it wasn't long. He left here. Yeah. He saw it all. Ha! Glory to God. Ha! Got the mantle that come right down from heaven. Did he not? Went back to the river and he said, Where is the God of Elijah? What he done? Brother, they parted that water. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I think he figured out pretty quick. Thank God he had something. Whoa! Glory to God! And my friend, I'll tell you something, folks. You get willing to share what you got. Thank God God will send them to you. Yes, he will. It may not be that everybody you're around or surrounded around or see is going to love you to death. There's going to be some of them that hate your guts. You know that? Preacher, you can't talk like that. Well, why can't I? I've been across them too. Do you know what I've seen? I've seen the Lord work on them. Yes, sir. I've seen the Lord work on them to where they had to do one thing. They had to swallow their pride. Yes, sir, just for a little bit. If it wasn't for a little bit, thank God they swallowed it for a little bit. Yes, sir. These folks, my friend, in this world using every kind of excuse in the world not to do God's will. Do you know that? Every excuse in the world, brethren, not to do what God have them to do. They ought to be a few, thank God, doing what God have them to do. Do you know that? They ought to be a few. The Lord ain't never. I say he ain't never. He's had a whole host of Israel, but my friend, about four-fifths of them, my friend, didn't even believe him. Didn't even want to follow him. No, they didn't. I've thought a lot of times, my friend, about that of Gideon, my friend. The Bible said that Gideon, you know how many he had? 32,000. I've thought about that, my friend. I wouldn't want nobody beside me that's fearful and afraid. Huh? Not fighting no battle. If I was going to be in war, I'd like to have a feller with me. Thank God that's going to fight. Wouldn't you? Thank God. Think about it. And my friend, he had too many, and God got rid of them. He said, tell them fearful and afraid, go back home. Yes, sir. 22,000 of them, they wasn't no fighters. They wasn't going to fight. They was fearful and they was afraid. Then he began, you know how it went. Then he told him, he said, you still got too many. Ain't that right? Had 10,000 left. You still got too many. You bring them down there to the water. Bring them down to the brook. You get them down to the brook, I'll try them. I'll separate them for you. He separated them all out and wound up with 300. But I'm going to tell you something. He had 300, my friend, that was going to do what he said to. You hear me? These things, my friend, these places that we get sometimes that we wonder why in the world we there. Well, preacher, I don't think that. Well, I've been there. I'll just be honest with you. I've been there. I've been in situations that I thought and asked myself, what in the world am I doing here? I could tell you something, but I won't. There's things that I don't understand altogether. There is. There's things and places and people, brethren, that I don't understand altogether why I got mixed up in the middle of it. You know that? Really? Just think about you and yourself. There's places and there's people, my friend, you get around, and I believe with all my heart that God puts us in places for their benefit, my friend. Who was it? Jonathan went up against the Philistines. He didn't have no host with him. He had one good armor bearer. You know that? That armor bearer told him, he said, as your heart is, so is mine. As your heart is, so is mine. We're going up. Yes, sir. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Had hundreds of thousands of troops down there that wouldn't even go. Yeah. Piddling around down there. Didn't want to fight. Yeah. Same way, brethren, when it come, Goliath come out, he'd come out and he'd present himself one time a day. Did it not? Brethren, Saul didn't know that David existed. You know that? He didn't know David existed. No, sir. David over there keeping sheep. Was he not? Yes, sir. Thank God when the Lord got David where he belonged. Thank God Saul found out David had something, thank God. Whoa. Ain't that good? Brethren, he had the remedy. He did. He had the remedy. Preacher, what did he have? He had the Lord. That not what he had? That not what he told Goliath? When Goliath come out and defied the armies of Israel and the God of Israel, brethren, it tore David up. Tore his heart up. People that God put in your life. Think about it. There's a reason. There is. There's a reason. Jacob went down to Laban's house. And before it's all said and done, Laban had already figured out that God had blessed him because of Jacob being down there. Is that not right? Glory. Huh? Glory. Old Laban served other gods, you know. He had other gods. He most certainly did. But brethren, Laban's family and his family, brethren, they wouldn't like the Canaanites. They wouldn't like the Canaanites. No, they wouldn't. Had there been, my friend, Isaac wouldn't send him down there. They said, you go down there to your mother, father's land. Said, you talk to Laban. Yes, sir. People that God put in your life. I'm going to say this. I've been around some people that are stubborn as a mule. Stubborner than I was. I have, that I didn't think, my friend, that they'd ever listen, that they'd ever do anything, that they'd ever acknowledge anything. Everything that come out of their mouth was negative and vulgar. You know what I mean? I'll tell you something. We got a God that can touch them.
Amen.
Yes, sir. We got a God that can touch them. I'll tell you again, my friend, everybody I've been around, I ain't telling you they got saved. They've been a few. They've been a few. It has been a few. But them few, thank God, found out that they is in a bad place. You know what they come to? They come under conviction. That's what happened. And the rest of them, my friend, I reckon still running just like they're running, but God got their attention. You hear me? God's got their attention. You say, preacher, why ain't they doing something? Same reason you didn't do something the first time he called you.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I didn't go for years. Brethren, we don't understand sometimes. We really don't. We don't understand. Brother Clem Jarrett, I've told this many a time, went to Dry Creek Baptist Church. I really thought he was a member. I really did. And there were several around that church, some of the older ones, they said, he ain't never confessed it, Randy, but we believe he got saved. That's what they'd keep telling me. So I one day, I just asked him. I said, Clem, you have been saved? He said, no, I hadn't. No, I hadn't. This man, my friend, he was better than some church members we had. I ain't lying. I ain't lying a bit. So I left Dry Creek. First time. Then that was the first time I come to Mountain View. When I left Mountain View, I went to Zion Hill. Now, well, Zion Hill went to Stoner's, then I went back to Dry Creek. Brother Clem Jarrett sat right back yonder on the back, last pew, him and his wife. Clem got a bad diagnosis on his health, put him in the hospital. He's in the hospital. And I went over to visit. I'd unvisited him time too, but I went over to visit one afternoon. And his whole family was there. And they was just so happy. They said, have you heard? And I said, heard what? And they said, Clem got saved. So I went in seen Clem and I got to talk. And he said, Randy, I got saved. I said, Lord, save me. I said, wonderful, wonderful. Well, before I left that day, they done had the big idea, and they done talked to several church members and deacons and what have you, and they said it'd be all right if the pastor said so, and they wanted to know, could they just put Clem's name on the book? They didn't think he'd ever get to be baptized, and I said, nah. And they got a little tiffy with me. I said, look, I said, have you asked Clem what he wanted to do? Well, no. I said, well, go in there and ask him. I said, I'll stay out here and go in there and ask him. See what he wants to do. They went in there and they said, I want to be baptized. Huh? Well, they didn't even know he'd ever come home. They was worried about him. I talked to them anyway about all that, but nonetheless, Clem come home. Do you know that? And as soon as Clem got able, he come to the church. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Mark it down, whatever. It's a fact. Clem didn't sit back yonder no more. He sat right up here. He come up here, got on this second bench. He did. And every service we had, he testified. Every service we had. He said, I didn't know it was so easy. He tried to be saved is what Clem's problem was. He is trying to get saved. Yes, sir. Trying. All them years, he's in his 70s. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. Thought the world of him. Really did. I told him, I said, Clem, when you think you're able, he's a big man, big man. He looked at me and he said, you think you can hold me? I said, me and the Lord can. I said, we'll figure out something. I ain't going to drown you if that's what you're worried about. Huh? So one day he let me know. He said, I'm ready when you are. We took Clem down. I tell you, ain't been no sweeter baptizing. I'm honest, just as honest as I can be. I said all that to say this. The only problem Clem had of getting saved was Clem. You know what most folks' problem is of being saved? It's not anybody in this world but themselves. Themselves. They just can't figure it out. You know? They just can't figure it out. And you ain't going to save yourself. No way, form, or fashion. Thank God. Thank God for people that He's put in my life. Ain't you? I'm glad. I don't know. People told me years ago, said, you're out of your generation, Randy. You ought to have been born 50 years ago. I don't think so. I don't think so. I'm glad of one thing. I'm glad that the Lord put me here while I'm here. Ain't you? I mean, you think about it. I'm glad He put me. Brother Walden told me back when I hadn't been preaching long, he said, Randy, I feel sorry for you. I said, why is that? He said, you're not going to get to see what I've seen. And I thought about that, Crafton. That really bothered me a little bit. It did. It bothered me a little bit. But you know what the Lord showed me? He said, I'll be the same God to you as I was to Him. Huh? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I wouldn't take nothing, not anything, for the journey that the Lord's put me on. I wouldn't. Not anything. Brother, I can tell you, thank God, with a smile on my face. I'm glad. Thank God, glad that God's used me like He has. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I appreciate the people that I've crossed paths with. Yes, sir. I really am. The book's full of it. I ain't got time to get into all of them. You think about it, you don't live alone. The Scripture even tells us we don't live alone. No man, whether they believe it or not, but no man lives alone. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. You can't take that verse out either. Good to be here. I appreciate you. Appreciate your prayers. Hope you got something out of it.